Jayaradhamadhava Kunjabihari Jayaradhamadhava Kunjabihari Gopi Janaballabha Kidibharad Hadhe Gopi Janaballabha Giddy Bodhadhi Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Gopi Janaballabha Kiribarad Haruti Gopi Janaballabha Kiribarad Hati Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravitakacharya Sudhata Sudhishi Shibad His Divine Grace Sivaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrindi Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Purem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha, Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindi Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Shyam Kund Radhakunda Gidi, Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavanam Ki Jai, Mathuranam Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Kajai Yamunamai Kajai Shrimati Dalasi Devi Kajai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kajai Gaur Brahmananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Shilvopad Kajai Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Budle Shrimati Bhakta Vedanta Swami Dignamani Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravati Pacharni, Nivashesha, Shunyavadi, Paschacha, Deishatarni. Okay, so Omagana, Tibetanda, Shagananjana, Shlokaya, Chakshura, Viditam, Yena, Tosmai, Shigurave, Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, again, we chant this nice shloka by Srinivasacharya. Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano Sadharma Samstapako Lokanam Hitakarano Tribhuvane manjo shiranyakaro Radha Krishna padara vinda vajana Nandena maktaliko Vande rupa sanatano Raghu yago Shri jiva gopala ko I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus, they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Okay, so we're going to continue. And we are continuing with the ecstatic symptoms of love of God, especially the Vyabhachari Bhava symptoms. Okay, let's go to the sharing of the screen. Okay, here we go. Share we go. So, just to reiterate about the bhavas, and I know I've done this 10 million times every evening. So, bhavas means emotions. Emotions in relationship to Krishna, those are the ones we're interested in. And so the first type of bhava is the vibhava, that which stimulates your emotions. And the vibhavas are udipana, alambana, and udipana. Alambana means directly Krishna, udipana means things connected to Krishna or remind you of Krishna. Okay. The second type of emotion or category in the discussion of emotions is the anubhava, the emotions that follow that you voluntarily do, like dancing and chanting and rolling on the ground and stuff like that. And then after that, there's the sattvika bhavas, which are eightfold, which are part of your constitutional nature. And sometimes they manifest, sometimes they don't, but they're actually part of your nature. And then after that, what we're reading about now is the vyabhachari bhavas, the 33 intermittent, uncontrollable ecstasies that overwhelm devotees who are situated in pure devotional service. So these are like uncontrollable, intermittent, and devastating. I mean, they're just like, what can I say? They're so powerful. They may be even powerful versions of the other bhavas and the sattvika bhavas or the anubhavas, but they're just more powerful versions that are uncontrollable. That's the vyabhachari bhavas. And the last bhava, type of bhavas or emotions we're going to talk about is the sthayi bhavas. What is that? Is the constitutional emotion that one has in relationship to Krishna, such as I feel like Krishna's mother, I feel like Krishna's lover, I feel like Krishna's friend, I feel like Krishna's servant. That's it. Okay, so now we're going to go to madness. Srila Bhakti, this is called Divyonmada, Transcendental Madness. Srila Bilva Mangal Thakur prays in his book as follows. Let Srimati Radharani purify the whole world because she has surrendered herself completely unto Krishna. Out of her ecstatic love for him, she sometimes acted just like an adult person and attempted to churn yogurt, although there was no yogurt in the pot. And seeing this, Krishna became so enchanted by Radharani that he began to milk a bull instead of a cow. Now, that's really crazy. Because you can't do that. Don't try it. Anyway, Krishna could try it, but no, kind of dangerous for us. These are some of the instances of insanity or madness in connection with the love affairs of Radha and Krishna. So even Krishna, at this particular point, became stimulated by ecstatic love for Radharani. So sometimes it's described that the devotee is the Ashraya and Krishna is the Vishaya, and sometimes vice versa. Vice versa. That the devotee is the Vishaya and Krishna is the Ashraya. You know, they switch positions. What do I mean by Ashraya and Vishaya? Let me translate those words. Ashraya means those who've taken shelter or are under Krishna's internal potency. Are those who have bhakti, and then sometimes Krishna gets bhakti for his devotee. Not sometimes, he always has, but in the expressions of emotions, sometimes Krishna exhibits the similar emotions that his devotees exhibit. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that when Krishna entered the poisonous waters of the Yamuna, Srimati Yashoda Devi went insane. Actually, it makes one sense. These are some instances of insanity or madness in connection with the love affairs of Radha Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that when Krishna entered the poisonous waters of the Yamuna, Srimati Yashoda Devi went insane. Instead of searching for curative herbs, she began to speak to the trees as if they were snake charmers. With folded hands, she began to bow down to the trees, asking them, "What is the medicinal herb which can check Krishna's dying from this poisonous water? This is an instance of insanity caused by some great danger." How a devotee can be in a state of insanity because of ecstatic love is described in the 10th canto, 30th chapter, verse 4 of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein the gopis were searching for Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan. The gopis were loudly singing the glories of Krishna and wandering from one forest to another in search of him. They knew that Krishna is not localized, but all-pervading. He is in the sky, he is in the water, he is in the air, and he is the super soul in everyone's heart. Thus the gopis began to inquire from all kinds of trees and plants about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is an instance of ecstatic madness on the part of the devotees. Similarly, there are symptoms of diseases caused by ecstatic love. This condition is credited by learned scholars as being Mahabhava. This highly elevated condition is also called Divyon Mata, or transcendental madness. I mentioned that before. So, generally, Mahabhava is only exhibited by Srimati Radharani. Most explanations that I've read. Forgetfulness. When Krishna was absent from Vrindavan and was staying on Mathura, Srimati Radharani sent news to him that his mother, the queen of Braja, was feeling such separation from him that there was foam coming from her mouth like the foam on the shore of the ocean. And sometimes she was raising her arms like the waves of the ocean, and because of her intense feelings of separation, she was rolling on the ground and creating a tumultuous roaring sound. And sometimes she was remaining completely silent, like a calm sea. These symptoms of separation from Krishna are called apasmara, or forgetfulness. One completely forgets his position when he manifests these symptoms in ecstatic love. Another message was once sent to Krishna, informing him that after he had killed Kamsa, one of Kamsa's demon friends had gone insane. This demon was foaming at the mouth, waving his arms and rolling on the ground. This demoniac demonstration is in relationship with Krishna in a ghastly humor. Now, remember I talked about the indirect rasas? So ghastliness is one of those indirect rasas. So we're getting ahead of us, ahead of ourselves here in the discussion of the nectar of devotion. This mellower flavor is one of the indirect relationships with Krishna. The first five kinds of relationships are called direct, and the other seven are called indirect. Some way or other, the demon must have had some relationship with Krishna because these symptoms developed when he heard that Krishna had already killed Kamsa. Srila Rupa Goswami remarks that there is also transcendental excellence in this kind of symptom. So Krishna's been merciful to the demons too. Disease. When Krishna was absent from Vrindavan and was staying at Mathura, some of his friends informed him, "Dear Krishna, because of their separation from you, the inhabitants of Braj are so afflicted that they appear to be diseased. Their bodies are feverish and they cannot move properly. They are simply lying down on the ground and breathing very heavily." In the 10th canto, 12th chapter, verse 44, Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit asked about Lord Ananta, and upon hearing this question, Shukadeva Goswami began to show symptoms of collapsing. Yet he checked himself and answered King Parikshit's questions in a mild voice. This collapsing condition is described as a feverish state resulting from ecstatic pleasure. There's another statement in the Srimad Bhagavatam telling of the damsels of Braj meeting with Krishna at the sacred place of Kurukshetra many years after their childhood pastimes. When they met in that sacred place, all the gopis became stunned by the occurrence of a solar eclipse. Their breathing, blinking of the eyes, and all similar activities stopped, and they stood before Krishna just like statues. This is another instance of a disease condition resulting from exuberant transcendental pleasure. Wow. Okay. Chapter 30 deals with further features. We're continuing down the list of 33 features of ecstatic love for Krishna. Confusion. There's the following statement in the Hansaduta, that means swan messenger. One day, when Srimati Radharani was feeling much affliction because of her separation from Krishna, she went to the bank of the Yamuna with some of her friends. There Radharani saw a cottage, wherein she and Krishna had experienced many loving pleasures, and by remembering these incidents, she immediately became overcome with dizziness. This dizziness was very prominently visible. This is an instance of confusion caused by separation. Similarly, there's a statement describing confusion caused by fearfulness. These symptoms were exhibited by Arjuna when he saw Krishna's universal form on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. His confusion was so strong that his bow and arrows fell from his hand and he could not perceive anything else. Next one is really heavy. Death. Once the Bakasura demon assumed the shape of a very big duck and opened his mouth in order to swallow Krishna and all the coward boys. When Krishna entered into the demon's mouth, Krishna was entering into the demon's mouth, Balaram and the other coward boys almost fainted and appeared as though they had no life. Even if devotees are illusioned by some ghastly scene or by any accidental occurrence, they never forget Krishna. Even in the greatest danger, they can remember Krishna. This is the benefit of Krishna consciousness. Even at the time of death, when all the functions of the body become dislocated, the devotee can remember Krishna in his innermost consciousness. And this saves him from falling down into material existence. In this way, Krishna consciousness immediately takes one from the material platform to the spiritual world. Wow. In this connection, there's a statement about persons who died at Mathura. These persons had a slight breathing exhilaration. Their eyes were wide open, the colors of their bodies were changed, and they began to utter the holy name of Krishna. In this condition, they gave up their material bodies. These symptoms are prior manifestations of death. Also, there's an instance in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first arrived in Jagannath Puri and went into the temple to see Lord Jagannath, he exhibited this condition of being just about, for all intents and purposes, almost dead. And everyone thought Lord Chaitanya had left this material world. And they tested that a Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, tested to see if there was any breath coming out of his nostrils, and he put a little cotton swab near his nostrils, and there was a little breath coming out of his nostrils. And he understood Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was still alive. He took him to his house, and the way they brought Lord Chaitanya back to external consciousness was by chanting the holy names of Krishna. And similarly, when Prabhupada exhibited this ecstatic symptom of completely losing all touch with the external world, the devotees had a kirtan, and he came back to external consciousness. Laziness. When, because of self-satisfaction or dislike of excessive labor, a person does not perform his duty in spite of having the energy, he is called lazy. This laziness is also manifested in ecstatic love of Krishna. For example, when some Brahmins were requested by Nanda Maharaj to circumambulate Govardhan Hill, they told them they were more interested in offering benedictions than in circumambulating Govardhan Hill. This is an instance of laziness caused by self-satisfaction. So these are pure devotees, these pastimes. Once, when Krishna, along with his coward boyfriends, was having a mock battle, Subal showed the symptoms of fatigue. Krishna immediately told his other friends, "Subal is feeling too fatigued from mock fighting with me, so please do not disturb him anymore by inviting him to fight." This is an instance of laziness caused by dislike of excessive labor. These symptoms appear very familiar to us because in our own lives we exhibit them, but in relationship to this material world, to our material associates or whatever. But when these particular symptoms are exhibited in relationship to Krishna and his devotees, they're manifestations of spiritual ecstasy. inertness. In the 10th canto, 21st chapter, verse 13 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an appreciation of by the gopis of the inertia of the cows in Vrindavan. The gopis saw that the cows were hearing the sweet songs vibrated by Krishna's flute and were appearing to be drinking the nectar of those transcendental sounds. The calves were stunned, and they forgot to drink the milk from the milk bags. Their eyes seemed to be embracing Krishna, and there were tears in their eyes. This is an instance of inertia resulting from hearing the transcendental vibrations of Krishna's flute. When Lakshman became disturbed upon hearing words against Krishna, she remained inert and did not move her eyelids. This is another example of inertia caused by hearing. In the 10th canto, 71st chapter, verse 39 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's an account of King Yudhisthira's bewilderment after his bringing Krishna into his home with the greatest respect. King Yudhisthira was very much bewildered because of his transcendental pleasure at having Krishna present in his house. In fact, while receiving Krishna, King Yudhisthira forgot himself. This is an instance of inertia resulting from the ecstasy of seeing Krishna. There's another instance in the 10th canto, 39th chapter, verse 36 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna was going to Mathura. All the gopis were standing behind Krishna. Upon seeing the chariot leaving, they stood there stunned and did not move. They remained like that until the flag of the chariot and the dust thrown up by its wheels became invisible. Krishna was once addressed by his friend thus, "My dear Mukunda, Krishna, due to their being separated from you, the coward boys are standing just like neglected deities in the house of a professional brahmana. There's a class of professional brahmanas who take to deity worship as a means of earning their livelihood. Brahmanas in this class are not very interested in the deity. They're interested mainly in the money they can earn as holy men. So the deities worshipped by such professional brahmanas are not properly decorated. Their dress is not changed and their bodies are not cleaned. They look dirty and are not very attractive. Actually, deity worship should be done very carefully. The dress should be changed daily, and as far as possible, there should be ornaments. Everything should be so clean that the deity is attractive to all visitors. Here the example is given of the deities in the house of a professional brahmana, because such deities are not at all attractive. The friends of Krishna and the absence of Krishna were appearing like such neglected deities. They just couldn't move. Bashfulness. When Radharani was first introduced to Krishna, she felt very bashful. One of her friends addressed her in this way, "My dear friend, you have already sold yourself and all your beauty to Govinda. Now you should not be so bashful. Please look upon him cheerfully. One who has sold an elephant to another person should not make a miserly quarrel about selling the trident which controls the elephant. This kind of bashfulness is due to a new introduction in ecstatic love with Krishna. The heavenly king Indra, upon being defeated in his fight with Krishna for possession of the Parijata flower, became very bashful because of his defeat. He was standing before Krishna, bowing down his head, when Krishna said, 'All right, Indra, you can take this Parijata flower. Otherwise, you will not be able to show your face before your wife, Sachidevi.'" Indra's bashfulness was due to defeat. In another instance, Krishna began to praise Uddhava for his various high qualifications. Upon being praised by Krishna, Uddhava also bowed down his head bashfully. In the Hariwamsa, Satyabhama, feeling slighted by Rukmini's high position, said, "My dear Krishna, the Rai Vataka mountain is always full of spring flowers, but when have I become persona non grata to you? What is the use of my observing them?" This is an instance of bashfulness resulting from being defeated, and also from envy. Transcendental envy, competition, we were talking about this morning. This is more like a chivalrous type of thing between the wives. Concealment. There's a symptom of ecstatic love known as concealment, or trying to hide one's real mental condition by externally showing another attitude. In this state of mind, one tries to hide his mind by looking away in different directions, by unnecessarily trying for something which is impossible, or by using words which cover one's real thoughts. According to Acharyas, expert in the study of psychological activities, these attempts at hiding one's real affections are another part of ecstatic feeling for Krishna. In the 10th canto, 32nd chapter, verse 15 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami states, "My dear king, the gopis were always beautiful and decorated with confidential smiles and alluring garments. In their movements intended to give impetus to lusty feelings, they would sometimes press Krishna's hand on their laps, and sometimes they would keep his lotus feet on their breasts. After doing this, they would talk with Krishna as if they were very angry with him." He has a literal conflict there. So they're hiding their desire to please Krishna, which is actually spiritual lust, by their anger. That's very funny. There's another instance of the concealment and ecstatic love when Krishna, the supreme joker, planted the Parijata tree in the courtyard of Satyavama. Rukmini, the daughter of King Vidarbha, became very angry, but due to her natural gentle behavior, she did not express anything. No one could understand Rukmini's real mental condition. This is an instance of competitive concealment. just like you see, you know. This competition between Krishna's devotees is really so relishable. And they love each other. We mentioned this morning. It's not based upon hate, envy, anger, anything like that. It's based upon just chivalrous competition. They're having fun. Everyone's having fun. There's another instance in the first canto in the spiritual world, not in this world. There's another instance in the first canto, 11th chapter, verse 32, Srimad Bhagavatam, after entering Dwarka, Krishna was received in different ways by different members of his family. Upon seeing their husband from a distance, the queens of Dwarka immediately embraced him within their minds and slowly glanced over him. As Krishna came nearer, they pushed their sons forward to embrace him. Others were trying, out of shyness, not to shed tears, but they still could not keep the tears from gliding down. This is an instance of concealment caused by shyness. On another occasion, when Srimati Radharani thought that Krishna was involved with another woman, she addressed her friend in this manner: "My dear friend, as soon as I think of Krishna the coward boy attached to some other woman, I become stricken with fear and the hairs on my body stand up. I must be very careful that Krishna not see me at such times." This is an instance of concealment caused by shyness and diplomatic behavior. Now, sometimes she actually exhibits what's called her man, or anger towards Krishna, when Krishna expresses an interest in other ladies, transcendental ladies, gopis, and then she has her associates stand with sticks to keep Krishna away. And then finally, well, Krishna has many different plans to win back her favor. One particular plan is bowing down at her feet and touching her feet and crying. Crying and begging for forgiveness. Anyway, it has been stated, although Srimati Radharani developed a deep loving affection for Krishna, she hid her attitude in the core of her heart so that others could not detect her actual condition. This is an instance of concealment caused by gentleness. Once, when Krishna and his coward friends were enjoying friendly conversation, Krishna began to address his associates in casual language. At that time, Krishna's servant, Putri, was also enjoying the conversation. But then, remembering his position of servitude, Putri bowed down before his master, and with great respect and control, he stifled his smiling. This subdued smiling is an instance of concealment caused by a respectful attitude, because that was Putri's position. He was a servant. The servant is not supposed to be, "Hey, buddy," with Krishna. The friends are, but there's different varieties of friends. There are friends who are actually more respectful towards Krishna. There's equal. There's friends who are superior to Krishna in the sense of the relationship, not in the sense of, not the ontological sense, because no one is superior to Krishna. In the ontological sense. All right, remembrance. There are many symptoms of ecstatic love caused by remembering Krishna. For example, one friend of Krishna informed him, "My dear Mukunda, just after observing a bluish cloud in the sky, the lotus-eyed Radharani immediately began to remember you, and simply by observing this cloud, she became lusty for your association." Now remember this, the cloud is a vibhava, a stimulation, and it is an udipana. That means it's not Krishna, But it's something that reminds you of Krishna, or reminds Radharani in this case of Krishna. So, cloud, vibhava, and the manifestation of ecstasy is vyavachari vibhava. Okay, remembrance. This is an instance of remembering Krishna in ecstatic love because of seeing something resembling him. Krishna's bodily complexion is very similar to the bluish hue of a cloud. So simply by observing a bluish cloud, Srimati Radharani remembered him. One devotee said that even when he was not very attentive, he would sometimes, seemingly out of madness, remember the lotus feet of Krishna within his heart. This is an instance of remembrance resulting from constant practice. In other words, devotees who are constantly thinking of the lotus feet of Krishna, even if they are momentarily inattentive, will see the figure of Lord Krishna appearing within their hearts. And of course, this could also be obtained, by practice. Like Prabhupada said here, even for us, if we constantly practice chanting Krishna's name, then automatically when we wake up in the morning, what are we going to say? Hare Krishna. Then automatically in our dreams, when Maya comes, we'll go, Hare Krishna, and drive her away. Or drive him away. Argumentativeness. Madhu Mangal, oh, he's such a funny personality, was an intimate friend of Krishna's coming from the Brahmin community. Krishna's friends were mostly coward boys belonging to the Vaishya community, that means farming community, but there were others belonged to the Brahmana community. Actually, in Vrindavan, the Vaishya community and the Brahmin community are considered prominent. This Madhu Mangal one day addressed Krishna in this fashion. My dear friend, I can see that you are not aware of the peacock feathers that are falling on the ground, and at the same time, you are unmindful of the flower garlands which are offered to you. I think I can guess the reason for your absent-mindedness when I see your two eyes flying over to the eyes of Srimati Radharani, just like black drones flying to lotus flowers. This is an instance of argumentative suggestion in ecstatic love. Once while Krishna was out walking, one of the associates of Radharani told her, my dear friend, do you think that this walking personality is a tamal tree? If he is a tamal tree, then how is it possible for him to walk and be so beautiful? Then this personality might be a cloud. But if he's a cloud, then where is the beautiful moon within? Under the circumstances, I think it may be granted this person is the same enchanting personality of Godhead, by whose flute vibration the three worlds are captivated. He must be the same Mukunda who is standing before Govardhan Hill. This is another instance of an argumentative presentation of ecstatic love. Anxiety. In the 10th canto, 29th chapter, verse 29 of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna asked all the gopis to go back to their homes, they did not like it. Because of their grief at this, they were sighing heavily and their beautiful faces appeared to be drying up. In this condition, they remained without making a sound. They began to draw lines on the ground with their toes, and with their tears they washed the black ointment from their eyes onto their breasts, which were covered with red kumkum powder. This is an instance of anxiety and ecstatic love. So this whole story was that Krishna previously called them with his flute. He played his flute so beautifully that all the gopis, they dropped everything else they were doing, didn't listen to their husbands, put the babies on the ground, left the milk pots or whatever pots that were on the oven, and they were just boiling over, and they just rushed to see Krishna in the forest in the middle of the night. Excuse me. And then Krishna said to them, what are you doing out in the middle of the night? Very, very dangerous. You should go home and be dharmic. And they were really upset with him. And this is the story behind this manifestation of ecstatic love, which is anxiety. One of the friends of Krishna once informed him, my dear killer of the demon Mura, your kind and gentle mother is very anxious because you have not returned home, and with great difficulty she has passed the evening constantly sitting on the balcony of your home. It is certainly astonishing how you could forget your mother while you are off somewhere engaged in your playful activities. This is another instance of deep anxiety and ecstatic love. When Mother Yashoda was very anxiously waiting for Krishna to return from Mathura, Maharaj Nanda gave her this solace. My dear Yashoda, please don't be worried. Please dry your beautiful lotus-like face. There is no need for you to breathe so hotly. I will go immediately with the Krura to the palace of Kamsa and get your son back for you. Here is an instance of anxiety and ecstatic love caused by Krishna's awkward position. Thoughtfulness. In the Vaishaka Mahatmya section of the Padma Purana, a devotee states that though in some of the 18 Puranas the process of glorifying Lord Vishnu is not mentioned and the glorification of some demigod is offered, such glorification must be continued for millions of years. For when one studies the Puranas very scrutinizingly, he can see that ultimately Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is an instance of ecstatic love developed out of thoughtfulness. Now, let's describe something about the Puranas. There's many, many Puranas, but there's 18 Mahapuranas, great Puranas. Now, you can divide 18 into three. That's 666. So each of those categories of six, they deal with different modes of nature. It's not that the Puranas are in different modes of nature, but the Puranas are for people who are in different modes of nature. There are six Puranas for those in the mode of ignorance, and they generally mention like worship of Lord Shiva or other personalities like that. There's six for those in the mode of passion, also demigods, some of the demigods, and then six for those in goodness. And they generally, not generally, but they always mention worship of Krishna as supreme. And the greatest of all the 18 Puranas is the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is called the Maha Purana, the great Purana. The Purana Dharma Prajitakai Tavotra Paramam Niramatsuram Satam. The Purana is only meant for those who are interested in the highest goal of life, throwing out all sort of cheating that could be done in the name of religion. So, of course, people may want to cheat in the name of religion, so it's better they cheat in the name of religion or take some religion or believe in God or believe in something or someone more powerful than themselves than don't believe. It is better. That's why there's other Puranas. But ultimately, the highest understanding is Savai Pumsam Paro Dharma Yato Bhakti Rahosaje Ahaitakiya Pratyataya Yatma Supersedate, worship of Krishna. And that's the only thing that will ultimately satisfy the self, the heart. In the 10th canto, 16th chapter, verse 39 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's an account of Rukmini Devi's writing a letter to Krishna requesting him to kidnap her before her marriage to another person, that was Shishupal. At that time, the specific attachment of Rukmini for Krishna was expressed by Rukmini as follows: my dear Lord Krishna, your transcendental glories are chanted by great sages who are free from material contamination, and in exchange for such glorification, you are so kind that you freely distribute yourself to such devotees. As one can elevate oneself simply by your grace, so also by your direction alone, one may be lost to all benedictions under the influence of eternal time. Therefore, I have selected your lordship as my husband, brushing aside personalities like Brahma and Indra, not to mention others. Rukmini enhanced your love for Krishna simply by thinking of him. This is an instance of thoughtfulness and ecstatic love. So this story is one of the most famous stories in the Vedic literatures, Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam, and so many of the Puranas. So the story goes as follows. Krishna was not married and was not even planning on getting married, but he received this note from Rukmini. It happened that her brother, Rukmi, that's an interesting name for Rukmini's brother, was arranging her marriage with Shishupal, who is Krishna's enemy, who Krishna ultimately ended up killing in the Rajasuya sacrifice that we talked about a few days ago, when Shishupal committed 100 offenses against Krishna, and Krishna cut off his head with a Sudarshana chakra. So Rukmi was arranging this marriage, and Krishna received a note from Rukmini that what is meant for the lion should not be taken by the jackal, you know, calling Shishupala a jackal. So please come and save me and kidnap me. And so Krishna came and he kidnapped her while she was worshiping the goddess Durga. Katyayani, she came out of the temple and Krishna grabbed her and described that she was so beautiful that all the other suitors that had arrived, including Shishupala, fainted when they saw her. They fell off their horses. And then Krishna simply put her on his chariot, and Krishna had her drive the chariot. Now, why did Krishna have her drive the chariot? Because Krishna had to fight with her brother, because the other princes and everybody else couldn't really fight with Krishna. And so it ended up with Rukmini following Krishna and Rukmini. And he challenged Krishna, stop right away and fight with me. And if I don't win, I'm not going back to my kingdom. So Krishna stopped his chariot, faced Rukmini, and he got ready to basically kill him. And Rukmini, that is Rukmini's sister, who is married to Krishna, or going to be married to Krishna, she begged Krishna, don't kill my brother. And Krishna said, okay. And he gave him a really strange haircut, which is very embarrassing for him. And ultimately, so he had to go back to his kingdom and accept the marriage with Krishna. Ultimately, he got killed by Balaram during a chess match. And that story is in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we encourage you to read the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Maybe you'd like to read the Krishna book after we finish with Nectar Devotion. We will see what Krishna desires. So, endurance. When a person is fully satisfied due to attaining knowledge, transcending all distress, or achieving his desired goal of life in transcendental devotional service to God, his state of endurance or steady-mindedness is called dhriti. At this stage, one is not perturbed by any amount of loss, nor does anything appear to be unachieved by him. According to the opinion of Bhartrihari, a learned scholar, when a person is elevated to the state of endurance, he thinks as follows, I do not wish to be a highly posted government servant. I should prefer to remain naked without proper garments. I shall prefer to lie down on the ground without any mattress, and despite all these disadvantages, I shall refuse to serve anyone, even the government. In other words, when one is in ecstatic love with the personality of Godhead, he can endure any kind of disadvantages calculated under the material concept of life. And that's really interesting. I was listening to Prabhupada's explanation today of why he came to the Western world. And it was very simple. He simply said, because my spiritual master asked me, he told me to do it. He said, that's why. And he said, if my spiritual master told me to live in the jungle, I would have lived in the jungle. So by these words of Srila Prabhupada, you could hear, first of all, his detachment from anything in this material world. Secondly, I'm even more primarily, of course, primarily, which is more important than Prabhupada's detachment, but I'm saying it secondarily. But it's primary. But the Prabhupada's complete devotion to the words of his spiritual master and dedication to his spiritual master's mission. And because of that, Prabhupada was chosen to accomplish the mission of starting the Krishna consciousness movement worldwide. So I often say that Prabhupada was the chosen one because he chose to be the chosen one. He chose. You understand? He chose to be the chosen one. Just like Arjuna in the Battle of Kurukshetra was informed by Krishna that the people on the opposite side, they were going to die anyway. Rabbi Bhishma was going to die, Duryodhana and all his brothers were going to die. That was basically preordained. It was planned by Krishna. Krishna wanted it to happen. Whether or not Arjuna took the credit for it. So Arjuna was told this, and he said, you can take the credit for it, and this way you're doing your duty, you're being dharmic and everything like that, and if you don't do it, you're not dharmic, you're not doing your duty, but it's up to you. So one can take the credit for accomplishing something wonderful such as that which was accomplished by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, by doing it. Prabhupada chose to be the chosen one. It was offered to many others. This benediction, this service, this dynamic preaching, this revolutionary activity of bringing the Hare Krishna mantra to every town and village in the world. It was offered to many people. Prabhupada chose it. Therefore, He's the chosen one. You hear this often in some films. He's the chosen one. Nanda Maharaj, the father of Krishna, used to think, in my pasturing ground, the goddess of fortune is personally present, and I possess more than 100,000 cows. Wow. Which loiter here and there. And above all, I have a son like Krishna, who is such a powerful, wonderful worker. Therefore, even though I am a householder, I am feeling so satisfied. This is an instance of mental endurance resulting from the absence of all distress. In another instance, a devotee says, I am always swimming in the nectarian ocean of the pastimes of the personality of Godhead, and as such, I have no more attraction for religious rituals, economic development, sense gratification, or even the ultimate salvation emerging into the existence of Brahman. This is an instance of the mind's endurance due to achieving the best thing in the world. The best thing in the world is absorption in Krishna consciousness and happiness. Here we go. Let me see how much more we have in this particular chapter. Give me a second. It's not much. Oh, no, I'm looking at the wrong chapter. Okay. Anyway, we'll figure it out later. Happiness. It is described in the Vishnu Purana that when Akrura, I think that's going to work, yes, the right section. Actually, we have quite a bit more, I think. Yeah, we have quite a bit more. Okay. It is described in the Vishnu Purana that when Akrura came to take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, just by seeing their faces, he became so cheerful that all over his body there were symptoms of ecstatic love. This state is called happiness. So that's the vibhava of seeing Krishna and Balaram, or seeing the faces of Krishna and Balaram. It is stated in the 10th canto, third chapter, verse 11, of Srimad Bhagavatam, upon seeing that Krishna's arm was placed on her shoulder, one of the gopis engaged in the rasa dance became so ecstatically happy that she kissed Krishna on his cheek. This is an instance of feeling happiness because of achieving a desired goal. Next one is eagerness. In the 10th canto, 71st chapter, verse 33 of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, when Krishna first came from his kingdom, Dwarka, to Indraprastha, the young females of the city became so eager to see him that even at night when they were lying down with their husbands, they could not restrain their eagerness. Even though they were not properly dressed and although their hair was loose, there were many household duties performed. They still gave up everything and immediately went into the street to see Krishna. This is an instance of eagerness and ecstatic love, just hearing that Krishna's coming. In his book, Stavavali, Shri Raghunath Das Goswami has prayed for the mercy of Radharani, who was so captivated by the flute vibrations of Krishna that she immediately asked information of his whereabouts from residents in the Vrindavan forest. Upon first seeing Krishna, she was filled with such ecstatic love and pleasure that she began to scratch her ears. Wow. The damsels of Braja and Radharani were very expert in talking cunningly. So as soon as they saw Krishna, they began their talkings, and Krishna, pretending to go for some flowers for them, immediately left that place and entered into a mountain cave. This is another instance of eager, loving exchanges on the parts of both the gopis and Krishna. So I know these are very elevated topics, but it's important to understand the variety of feelings, emotions, stimulations that occur in the spiritual world. In other words, it's not all one. It's not that, you know, you just sit there and stare at God. It's not that you simply stare at your navel in the spiritual world. You're just engaged in active, loving exchanges that manifest all possible expressions that one can imagine, even expressions that one cannot imagine. Okay, so we're going to take questions now. Let's stop sharing the screen. And then we will go to our participants and ask if you want to ask questions. 1 second. Okay, you are technically free to ask questions at this point. Questions or comments? I know it's quite a technical subject matter. So who has a question?
Gurudev.
Uh-oh. Yes, Praneshara.
Yeah, like...
Your camera is better now. You don't look like you're coming down from the hellish planets or anything. So what question do you have?
Yeah, like we just read about the ecstatic love and all the qualities and of like happiness, eagerness, thoughtfulness, anxiety. But how do we identify the devotees who have the ecstatic love for Krishna yet have some like mundane? How to identify and how to deal with them?
How do you identify the devotees who have some ecstatic love for Krishna and are mundane?
Yes.
The devotees who have these Vyabhachari Bhavas, they're not mundane. Those who actually are on the transcendental, some people can have imitations, as we described in the last chapter about the Sattvika Bhavas. Sometimes there's burnt up or dried up ecstasy, which come when someone is in contact with a great pure devotee. When someone is in a kirtan, it's really ecstatic. And when someone is hearing Bhagavatam or some Krishna Katha, that can happen, but it's just like a reflection. It's not actually para or transcendental, but it's a reflection of what's happening with someone else who is transcendental. So they're not actually in the same level as the ecstatic symptoms that we're hearing described about Radharani and the cowherd boys and Mother Yashoda and the servants of Krishna. So just understand that they are experiencing it. If they are actually experiencing some ecstatic symptom, it's just being reflected from some great devotee or shastra or kirtan they're coming in contact with at that point. But it's not constant, because as soon as that association with the great devotee, the kirtan stops or the Krishna katha stops, they go back to their normal nonsense. All right? It's called burnt up or dried up ecstasy. And we discussed that previously. And it's there in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is a summary study, but in the actual Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami gets into more depth about burnt up or dried up ecstasies and how sometimes they can even mislead one. But this... we're not going that deep into the study right now. So that's how one should see things. Yes, this person has had good association, or this person heard a nice Bhagavatam class, or this person went to a great kirtan and they're feeling some ecstasies, but they're not on the transcendental platform yet. That's true. I mean, I've seen many times people who are abject materialists can experience some ecstasies by proper association, by giving them prasadam even. They experience ecstasies. So, but it doesn't continue unless they actually make a change in their lives. Okay?
Yes.
Don't worry. What day is your marriage?
On 30th of November, Gurudev.
30th of November. So we want everyone to congratulate here Praneshara on it and bless him to have a lifetime of connubial bliss. That means marital bliss. So he'll be happy and Krishna conscious too. I forgot about that one. He's married a nice devotee. I've interviewed her and screened her and everything like that. And she will be very good. And his mother is very happy too, right? Mother's happy?
Yeah, yes, Gurudev. She's fine.
She's fine, good. His mother used to, every time I saw his mother before, she used to come to me crying and crying and crying. She said, get my son a wife. Get him a wife. Please, please. And his sister, you know, it was like a whole crying festival. whenever I saw them. So, anyway, so congratulations. We ask for everybody to give you their blessings for a very happy marriage. Anyway, there's some chats that people are asking. But, oh, yeah, people are sending congratulations. We got congratulations from so many people. Congratulations. And maybe when we go to your marriage via Zoom, we can invite people to attend, too. Because I expect to be at your marriage via Zoom, and we invite everybody. We can have thousands of people on Zoom blessing you. As they say, king for a day. You'll be a king for a day. All right, so who else has a question?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Radhika.
Yeah, please accept my humble obeisances to
you.
You
got to speak very closely into your mic. It's always okay. With you.
Can you please hear me loudly now?
I can hear you, but it's okay. Real soft.
It's soft. Okay. I have two questions, Guru Maharaj. So my first question is regarding mana pastime. Yeah. So we know that Krishna loves everybody equally, and right. Again, we've learned that Krishna loves Radharani the most, because Krishna is controlled by Radharani's love, and yeah. Our offerings are also accepted by Krishna through Radharani as well. So Radharani has been very merciful and all that. So I just wanted to understand, it might sound silly. When Krishna is bowing down to Radharani to pacify her during man pastime, is it he's doing that just to pacify Radharani, or for really Krishna really wants Radharani to be pacified and he's really hurt?
He's really hurt. He's crying.
Okay, for real, right?
Like, yeah, Krishna. The point is, when he's bowing down, begging for Radharani's forgiveness, he's actually crying. He's not just, it's not just like an act. He's crying.
Okay. Yeah.
He's enjoying this. I mean, obviously, he's the Supreme Personality of God. He can have anything or anyone he wants. You know, nobody could say anything. But he enjoys this exchange of remorse. He's feeling remorseful. He's feeling sad. He's feeling depressed. And Radharani is feeling angry, and they're enjoying this.
Yeah, and I guess Radharani is enjoying as well, you know, to make Krishna.
It's just like, you know, sometimes children, they take different roles, you know, someone acts like a policeman, someone acts like a robber, you know, whatever.
Yes.
And they're enjoying it, and they really get into their roles.
Yeah. Thank you,
Guru. So this Yogamaya means that Krishna really gets into the role he's playing. He doesn't remember he's God.
Yes.
He thinks that his girlfriend is angry, and what is he going to do about it? And his whole life is finished. Yeah. Just like a normal, well, not normal, but in this mundane material life, you know, someone may feel that their life is finished with their girlfriend or wife or boyfriend, doesn't want anything to do with them anymore.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you hear this, like, so, I don't want to see your face anymore. You know, between men and women. It happens sometimes. At least that's what I've been told. So, and then it's just like, oh, no, my whole life is empty. It's like, you know, yudayitam nimishena chachusha pravashayitam shunyayitam jagatsarvam govinda vidahena me. You know, it's just like, oh, my God, my beloved is angry with me. What is the purpose of my life? You know, this is, of course, in the mundane world, this happens all the time. You know, And in the mundane world, the harsh words spoken by someone who you love, that's more painful than someone sticking a knife in your heart when someone does that. So anyway, but in the spiritual world, it's sort of enjoyable. They're enjoying these particular emotions, just like one enjoys in this world really intense feelings. That's why people go to amusement parks. I remember when I was young, my parents would take me to horror houses where you would actually go into a ride just to be scared.
Yeah.
You know, you just like sit in this seat and it would round the corner and some ghost would jump out at you. We'd round another corner and some skeletons would jump out at you. And I said, ah! And then I said to my mother, can I go on that ride again? So it's like that. Yeah. Or people, you know, people like to do all sorts of things. Like, there's this thing called zip line. You've heard of zip line before?
Yes, I did, yeah.
I was in Fiji, and I told the devotees, please take me on the zip line. They never did, because they're rascals. Anyway, so they at least take me on the zip line, because I want to enjoy, like, rushing through, scary, through the trees and the bushes. And, you know, it's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary, but this is the enjoyment. It's the enjoyment when you know everything will be all right at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be enjoyable if you knew at the end of the zip line there'd be a knife waiting for you that you'd run into and cut through your heart and you would die. So it's the same thing in the spiritual world. Everybody knows it'll be all right at the end. It's just fun in the meantime. You know, it's just that they're just having a good old time. You know, if everything was just like, you know, like if Krishna came to Radharani and Radharani said, okay, I love you, Krishna, and there was no Abhimanyu, Radharani's so-called husband, it would be boring as anything.
Yeah.
It would be boring.
Agreed.
It'd be like one of those TV shows from the 1960s. There are all these TV shows about some, like, nice family. Like, some of you who are younger or older may remember Leave It to Beaver or Father Knows Best or some stupid show like that, where everything is just like everybody's smiling. The biggest problem is that someone lost his report card. You know, it's just completely useless. So it's good. You know, Krishna wants to enjoy these really intense exchanges. Mm-hmm. And Radharani enjoys too. And they're having so much fun doing that. I mean, that's love. With love, if there's no intensity, it's not love anymore. I mean, just like one time we were speaking to a couple that had been married for 50 years. And we said to them, you must really love each other to stay together for so long. And they said, no, we don't. We don't love each other. We just tolerate. We're just doing our duty. Yeah, because oh my God, what a relationship. I said, just doing your duty for 50 years. Oh my God. Of course, probably had 1 year of being in love and 49 years of doing your duty. So anyways, that's a pretty dull life. So Krishna doesn't like that sort of life. He wants, even in Dwarka, he spices things up by having some of the wives being envious or angry, because it's part of enjoyment having variety like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So another question.
I have actually second question. Can I ask or okay. I just let?
Okay, what's the next question?
Okay, sorry. Yeah, my second question was under argumentative, we just read. So the instance of argumentative presentation in ecstatic love. So, we know that all the cowherd boys and girls were like simple-hearted people and they love Krishna just like as a friend. Dasa Sakya Bhava. So, and then again, in here, the instance of argumentative presentation where, like, William Madhu Mangala, like, the way they represent, they compare, like, they do know that Krishna is the Mukunda who was standing in front of the Govardhan, lifted the Govardhan, he is the cloud. He even this is mentioned there, you read that Krishna is it the same Supreme Personality of Godhead who is playing, enchanting the three walls by his playing the flute. So my point is like, so we think they do not know these things. Everybody believes Krishna is just the Krishna. And then how can they know all the pastimes of Krishna as well? Like, as in the Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Sometimes for the sake of Ras, they may remember for an instant and sometimes they forget.
Right.
Krishna uses Yogamaya like that.
Okay.
You know, sometimes they'll remember they did something the previous day, and sometimes they'll forget it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're usually just in the moment.
Right.
That means they're just as they say, be here now, just right in the moment,
yeah,
interacting with Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the enjoyment.
Yeah.
To live in the future or live in the past is not an enjoyment. To live it present, just being ever present and enjoying these different deep emotions without worrying about the future or worrying about the past.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. I think we're going to end now. It's 8 minutes past six for us, and we got things to do. So thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda.
Hare Hare.